You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
Word was to the psalmist, unless your law had been my, look at this saint, delight. If your law would not have been my delight, he knows something could have taken place that wouldn't have been good. Do y'all see that? He knows something. If your word was not my delight, if I didn't have the right delight, he said, I would then have perished in my affliction. My affliction would have gotten the best of me, but it didn't, because I delighted myself in your law or your word. Saints, we're looking at a man here who had the right delight. And because he had the right delight, even during times of affliction, or troublesome situations, or difficulties, he did not perish because of his afflictions. And so my subject this morning is, again, the right delight. And this is part five of the message, the right delight. God is continuing to speak to us, notice I said us, about the right delight. We need to continue delighting in the Lord, in his word, or in what is right. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a loud amen? Amen? Let's give God a hand clap for the text and the subject, the right delight. Come on, let's take them hand claps up higher. We got a good subject, good text. It's the word of God, the right delight. I pray by now that we who have not just been hearing the word, but receiving and applying the word, I pray by now that we understand that we need to have the right delight if we're going to have a positive impact upon a world ever descending into darkness. I said, I pray that we have received by now and understand that we need to have the right delight in order to have a positive impact on a world ever descending into darkness. Jesus said it like this, knowing that in the world there was darkness, he said to his disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. And I want us to know this morning that if we are to be the light to the world, then we can't be the light without the right delight. I want to say it again. We can't be the light without the right delight. And see, that's reason it's so important that we as people of God, that we don't mind being different. Oh, I didn't get that many amen then. I said, that's reason it's so important that when you look at the world versus the true church, we need to always see a great distinction. We need to always see a difference anytime we're looking at the world versus looking at the church or God's people. And of course, I understand when looking at the church, We are often looking at people who are still working on things. We're often looking at people who are still laying aside some things, some people who we can deem that they are babes in the Lord. They are babes in Christ. And so when we look at them, just like we was at one point, now those of us who are mature, we remember a time when we was a babe in Christ. How many remember when you was a babe in Christ? And things that you no longer struggle with now, you have a testimony that when you first got saved, it took you a minute to lay some things aside. Oh, come on, somebody. It took many of us a minute to stop missing things that we didn't have no business missing because God had given better. But in our immaturity, we simply had to grow. How many thank God for growth? How many thank God for maturity? Because the only reason some of us are not falling as often as we used to fall is because of our maturity. We learn to do what Paul said, to put away childish things. Come on, somebody. And so we need to have the right delight. Because as I stated earlier, there are so many in this world who have the wrong delight, or those who take delight in wrong or evil. And they are many. Did you hear me this morning? Those who delight in evil are many. And so notice what Paul says in Romans, the first chapter. Notice the book of Romans and the first chapter. Because if you are having the right delight, you don't need to get off course when you look at people who are happy about having the wrong delight. You can't allow things like that to move you. Come on, somebody. I said, you can't allow things like that to move you. Because though you have the right delight, can I be honest this morning? There are some loved ones who don't have the right delight. Come on, there are some coworkers who don't have the right delight. Can I take it a step further? They not only don't have the right delight, but they don't want it. They don't want to have the right delight. And so those of us who have the right delight, and that is we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, we don't want to allow others to persuade us to do what we have no business doing, or let me say it like this, or to go back or to return to the things that we used to do. And I tell you, pastoring over the year, I've seen it a lot. I've seen people have the right delight. I've seen people excited about being saved, but then they got to hanging with the wrong crowd, and the wrong crowd pulled them back into what they had no business going back into. I wish somebody give me an amen, because if you've been saved for a minute, you've seen it as well. Amen. Notice Romans 1, when Paul starts to talking about evil people. I want to show you two verses in particular. Notice Romans 1 and 28. And then Paul said, now notice what he's talking about now. Pick up the type folk that he's talking about. In Romans 1 and 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to a reprobate mind. Notice to do those things which are not fitting. I want to tell you, people who delight in evil, they do things because they have a debased mind. They do things because God has did what no person should ever want him to do, and that is to give a person over to themselves. See, if God don't have mercy on us, come on, somebody. I said, if God does not have mercy on us and he gives us over to ourselves, then our lust is going to consume us. Then evil desires are going to jack up our life, and eventually we will die and lift up our eyes in a devil's hell. Why? Because God gave us over to ourselves. And I come to tell you, I see so many people delighting themselves in evil, and not wanting anything to do with God. And it is because in many cases, listen to me, church, God has turned people over to themselves. And I don't know the number of times, listen, church, that a person can reject God and then God's get tired or fed up with that person. Let me say it again. I don't know the number of times that it takes. I can't say it take 4, 5, 6, 50, or 100, but there does come a time. Come on, somebody. I said, there does come a time when people reject God, listen, one too many times, and he turns that person over to themselves. And then, because they have been turned over to themselves, they will never desire God. They will never desire to delight themselves in the Lord. Notice again, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want God. They rejected God's knowledge. They rejected his goodness. They rejected his mercy. I pray somebody here today who's been rejecting God's word, you've been rejecting his mercy, that you will take heed to what I'm saying right now. But notice he begins to describe traits of these types of people. Notice in verse 30, he labels them as backbiters, as haters of God. Woo, I don't want to become a hater of God. And folk who claim to be atheists are some of your biggest haters of God. They hate God so much that they deny his existence. But do you know deep down, an atheist knows that God is real? Oh, that'll preach right there. I said deep down, every atheist knows that God is real. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because man was created in the image of God. And whenever man does not have the right relationship, the right connection with his or her creator, something is always missing. Whoa, I said something is always missing. Get married, but something is missing. Get a new house, but something is missing. Get the job you wanted, but something is missing. Somebody ought to give God a praise right there, because you've been there, had things going your way, but because you did not have God, you knew deep down something is missing. Something ain't right. There's still a void in my life. Somebody there this morning, you're doing everything you can to possibly enjoy life, but you're trying to go about it without God. That's why there's a void. You're not in covenant with the one who made you. You're not in covenant with the one who created you, who shaped you, who made you like he made you. But see, once you get in connection with the creator, you become happy about how he made you. Whoa, I'm preaching good up in here. I said you become glad about who he made you, how he made you. Come on, in other words, you can love yourself when you learn to love God, because God made you. And how many know when you recognize that, there's never a need to try to be nobody else? There's never a need to try to compete with nobody else. Somebody ought to be clapping. I'm preaching good. There's no need to be jealous of nobody. Why are you envious of them? God made you the way that he made you. How many know you can't beat you at being you? Be the best you that you can be. Appreciate who God made you. You say, well, Pastor, he made me just a little bit different. Appreciate that. Amen. I got to move on. But notice in verse 30. Notice in verse 30. That's a good word for somebody. We have too many people trying to be like other folk, wishing they were other people. Get in connection with God. Find out your purpose. Find out why he created you. Know why he saved you. Why he picked you up. Why he turned. Folk love to talk about how God picked them up and turned them around. But if he picks you up, turns you around, and you don't know which way to go, that still ain't good. Notice verse 30, because this is what I'm working my way to. He said they are backbiters. They are haters of God. They are violent. They are proud. They are boasters. But this is what I want y'all to see. Inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. See, I want you to understand this morning that people who delight in evil are often intelligent people. Come on. They're intelligent, but it is perverted. And see, notice that these folk became inventors of evil things. I wonder, have you ever looked at something, knew it was evil, but also knew that who created that, who came up with it, who imagined it, it had to come out of an evil mind. I've just been watching TV and watch certain movies that they were highlighting or advertising that was out. And I knew that that was something that I did not want to see, nor do I need to see it. And I knew that whoever produced that, whoever directed that, it came out of an evil mind. Y'all better listen to me. But because evil inventors are intelligent, they know how to entice people to look at things they shouldn't look at. See, this is what makes them intelligent. They know how to get people's attention. Woo! They know how to make things attractive. See, evil inventors know how to create something that you as a sanctified woman should not desire to look at. Woo! But evil inventors know how to put something before your sanctified eyes that catches your attention. Evil inventors know how to create songs and beats and rhythms that when your ears hear it, if you are not careful, you know it's evil, but you wouldn't mind hearing a little bit more. Come on. Don't see y'all trying to act on me. Come on now. You know you've been turning through that TV and landed on something that was evil. And instead of immediately turning it, sometimes we look to see who was watching. And though you didn't say it out of your mouth, but in your heart you said, come on, you'll find yourself doing that. Just sitting there looking, oh, this is not right. She knows she ain't got no business having that on, but you started looking though. Come on. See, I'm trying to tell you, evil is nothing to play with. Folks are now creating things, coming up with things because they are inventors of evil. And let me say this, then I'm moving on. And even if evil folk invent evil and the nation legalizes it, makes it law, it still don't make it right. Come on, be careful with the nation we live in, because they can call it law, but God can look at it and say, no, that's breaking my law. That's breaking my command. Come on, somebody. And as saved folk who delight in the right things, we have to be made aware of inventors of evil, of people who delight in evil. Is that right? Notice back in Psalm 119 and 92. Just turn back to Psalm 119 and verse 92. Listen carefully now. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 92, or turn to the main text. Psalm 119, verse 92. Notice what he says again. Unless, I hear pages turning. Psalm 119, 92. Whenever you're being taught, always mark the the main text with something. If you got a little screen, you can slide down there. That's good. If you got a little piece of paper, you can crease and put right there. Because you never know when the preacher or the teacher going to turn, ask you to go back to the main text, and then you can just find it. Amen. Unless your law had been my delight. This law. Unless your word. Now to prove to you that the word and the Lord are one and the same, I want you to remember what was said in John 1:1. Listen, church. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word, listen, church, was God. God and His Word are synonymous. They are the same. When you're looking at God's word, you are looking at God. Notice this, because this is important. Unless your law had been my delight. Unless your word had been my delight. Unless the Lord had been my delight. Remember, the Lord and His word are what? One. Notice when you look at scriptures like Malachi 3:6, he said, for I am the Lord, I do not what? Change. For I am the Lord, I do not what? Change. Hebrews 10:38, Jesus Christ, listen, the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Now watch God or the Lord and His word be proven to be one and the same. Just like the Lord don't change, His word don't change. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, come on church, will not pass away. Why will God's word not pass away? Because God's word is God. And just like God cannot change, His word cannot change. Just like God cannot fail, His word cannot fail. See, somebody living by the word should be excited, because you're standing on a promise God made you, and your preacher, your pastor just told you that what you're standing on cannot fail or pass away. It's got to come to pass. Somebody give him a praise like you believe it. God's word has to come to pass. 5 years passed by, don't care. 20 years, don't care. That word has to. I need somebody to look at somebody and say, I know he right about it. That word can't pass. That's the reason you can shout in your trouble. Because what God gave you cannot change, but must be fulfilled. Why you think some of us are where we are at now? You think it's our own ability? You think it's by our own resources? You think it's by our own intelligence? No, God gave us a word. Come on. We stood on that word. Now we're walking in that word. Now we're living that. Oh, I got to break this one down. Now we're driving that word. Now we're living in that word. Now we're wearing that word. Some of you, when you couldn't dress, when you couldn't afford to dress right, God told you what He was going to do. How many know I'm preaching good? God will clean a person up from the flow up. Why does that happen? His word. His word. That cannot return what? Void. I hear you, Isaiah. See, know what you're delighting in. You're delighting in the Lord. You're delighting in that which cannot change. Times change. Woo! Times change. People change. Nations change. Presidents change. Jobs change. But God remains. Jobs get up and move to Mexico. God don't ever get up and move. So you got to know what you're delighting in. Notice Psalm 119. You got to know what you're delighting in. Well, man, he just seemed like he's so happy to be saved. And you're right. I'm so happy to be saved. I'm so happy to be delighting in the right thing. Because I hadn't always had that mind. I hadn't always had that mind set. Anybody had God sure enough bless you. Sure enough bring you from a low place to where he's brought you now. Come on, somebody. And you know that word is right. Come on, somebody. You know that word is right. Notice Psalm 119, 92. Notice again now. He said, unless, somebody shout, unless. Unless. Y'all didn't shout it like you mean it. Somebody shout, unless.
Unless.
Somebody shout, unless.
Unless.
See, this is a game changer. Uh-oh, wait a minute. See, we don't play games. This is a life changer. Let the world play the game, but we need a life. Unless your law, your word, had been my delight. Talk to a psalmist. I would then have perished in my affliction. Lord, if your word hadn't been my delight, in my trouble, I would have perished in it. I wouldn't have came out of it. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody who not only been in trouble, had God bless you in the midst of the trouble, but what he did when the trouble ended. How he showed out when the trial came to its conclusion. Listen to me. It's still blowing people's mind to this day. Last time I heard she was going down. Well, let me tell you, she up now. She up now. Let me tell you, well, the last time I seen him, he looked bad. He looked good now. Come on, y'all. Y'all act like y'all don't know about God's ability to completely. Oh, I need some preachers in here. Completely what? Turn things what? Around. Can he do it? Can he do it? Has he did it? Will he do it again? Will he turn it around again? Listen, listen, church, because this is some of our testimony. If God's word would not have been our delight, we would have perished in our afflictions. Listen to me. When it come to the devil, when it come to demons, when it come to evil people, they desire that we perish in our afflictions. Did you hear me? When it comes to the devil, when it comes to demons, when it comes to evil folk who allow demons to use them, control them, they desire not only for a saint to go through afflictions, but to perish in them. Come on, I'm finna drop one on y'all. When you good and saved, there are folk rooting for your demise. Who, when you was in the world, they cheered for you. But since you got in Christ, wonder, do you know anybody like that? And don't dare look at me like, Pastor, I don't have nobody like that. Everybody around me is my friend. Let me tell you something. We all have some enemies, preach, Pastor, who are disguised as friends. They look like friends. They talk like a friend. But behind your back, the scheming that they're doing, the things that they're saying. How many know, even though you get up every day striving to do right, striving to love everybody, everybody won't love you back. Come on. Notice this. You have to understand this. We don't per se really deal with the devil. Because most of us, God ain't going to turn the devil loose on us. Not the devil. There's one devil. One. Who cannot be everywhere at the same time. He is not omniscient. Come on. And how important do you have to be for the devil to visit Nuna? I don't think the devil ever been to Nuna. I'm just going to be honest. But his demons are everywhere. See, that's what you have to understand. I know some of you looking like, I never heard that preacher. Yeah, the devil's not omniscient. He's not everywhere at the same time. He works through demons. Demons work through evil people. Do you understand? Why? What do I mean when I say demons, evil folk, desire us to perish in our afflictions? I'm going to give you four things that perish represents. That as a child of God, as a person with the right delight, we don't want this to happen to us. Yeah, you're going to go through. Everybody's going to go through something, sinner and saint. The only difference is that the saint has a promise, has the word of God, which does not change. And so you don't want these four things to happen to you when you find yourself afflicted. Going through something painful, going through something challenging, in a situation, in something difficult that is uncomfortable. Woo! Who am I teaching to this morning? You don't want to have these four things happen to you. And many of us, when I list them, we probably had one or two happen to us. And some of us have had a combo. We've had all four happening to us while going through afflictions. Number one, you know you're perishing in an affliction when you start worrying. When you start worrying, yeah, you're going through some trouble. But Jesus himself said, therefore, do not worry. He even asked the disciples, of course, can any of you, by worrying, add one cubit to his stature? And the disciples did not answer because they knew the answer was no, we can't do it. So what was Jesus basically teaching? That worrying can't change a thing. Only thing worrying can do is make a situation worse. Somebody better hear me this morning. By making you worse. See, worrying does not always make your situation worse. But worrying can cause you to become ill. Worrying can do things to your mind that if you don't get control of worrying, your mind can snap. I want to tell y'all this morning that more people have had nervous breakdowns than we know. They just did not get committed. Come on, somebody. There are some of you in here. If people knew your true story, then you would have to tell them about your breakdown. Oh, they look up to you. They think you are. Come on, how many know that? Many of us have had a breakdown moment. From what? Worrying. Pressure. You remember the old saying, pressure will crack a brick. See, that's what happens when you start worrying and you get stuck worrying. Like it or not, you're not only going through an affliction, but you're perishing. Number two, when you become depressed, you're depressed. Not just dealing with trouble at the house, not just dealing with trouble in the marriage, but the trouble has you. I need to deal with this. Because depression doesn't affect everybody the same. Come on. Wonder, have you ever known a person or maybe even you to have been depressed and wouldn't eat? Wouldn't eat. You give them a gift card to their favorite place. They told you they like Texas Roadhouse. So you gave them a gift card. They're so depressed. They don't even want to use it. Can't remember the last time they ate their favorite food, even though they have the money to buy it, to purchase it. Come on, somebody. But that's what depression is doing. don't want any company, don't really want to be around anybody. Come on. Woo! But y'all know I got to swing that thing. You know, to teach it right, you have to swing it. Now, some folk will get depressed and eat up the house. They eat past being full. Come on, see, sometimes you got to know what you're looking for. Some folk that are depressed, they never get full. They're taking Bluebell, trying to eat their way out of this affliction. Come on. See, somebody mad right now because they've been eating Bluebell like that. Or either they've been overeating. Some folk get depressed and don't sleep. Others get depressed and all they want to do is sleep. But whenever you are going through an affliction and you get stuck being depressed, you're perishing. You're perishing in that affliction. But we also see folk perishing in the sense that they're not only going through something difficult. Y'all ready? This is the third one. But they are bitter about what they're going through. They're mad at everybody, including the whole world, and they don't even know the whole world. They mad at this country, and they ain't even seen all this country. See, can I make somebody mad? They ready to go back to Africa, even though they ain't from Africa and seen Africa. But when you get bitter, no, I'm teaching this thing right. You bitter. And now you think you can fix it with a divorce and another spouse. No, that won't fix it because you're going to get remarried. Teach it to them, Pastor, even though they ain't smiling, and you're still going to be bitter. Got a new boo, but you're still bitter. Found you one look better, curves are better, but you are still bitter. Things don't make bitterness leave. Come on, somebody. I said things don't make bitterness leave. And you'll be surprised of people who are bitter about what they're going through. Teach it, Pastor. They are folk you would be surprised who are bitter about things that happen to them. And they carry the shame of it. They carry the guilt of it. And it's building up to bitterness where they don't trust nobody. Woo! But see, when you find yourself in a place where you no longer trust people, you are not going to be able to be connected to God, because like it or not, God uses people to reach other people. Woo! And so that wall that you are building up to keep people out, and not only keeping the wrong people out, preach it, Pastor, but it's keeping the right people out. Come on, somebody. It's what bitterness will do. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats at a person. Doesn't go away. You can't drink enough liquor to cure bitterness. You can't smoke enough crack. You can't get enough weed. Most of our young folk now turned out to dope smoking every day. And we got bitter young people. Entitled young people. Staying high every day. Bitter and on weed. Smoking their memories away. Come on, somebody. Is it too tight for y'all? I'm finna move on. But isn't it bad when you see a bitter young person who you want to tell them, hey, straighten up, boy. Life just getting started. Life will throw some stuff at you. You better get a smile on your face. You better get in there and take a bath. You better get in there and brush your teeth. Visit the barber shop and get you a cut with a fresh line. Life has to go on. Come on, sister. You got to get some smell good on. You got to get to fixing up yourself. I don't care if you ain't got this, that, and up. You got to get in that room. And you got to work with what you got. And you got to come out with something fresh. Wow, one of my sisters ought to be giving me a praise, because you had to get in there and work on yourself and get creative and preach to yourself and say, I will not be a bitter woman.
He left, but I'm not bitter. He walked out, but I'm not bitter. What are you then, sister? I'm better, Pastor. I'm not bitter. I'm better. If you ain't bitter, but better get up and give God a praise right now. If you've been through something, but you ain't bitter, you better get up now and give God a praise. Give him a praise right now. Give him some hallelujahs. Somebody ought to turn in victory. Been through a whole lot, Pastor, but I'm not bitter. I am better. Lost a job, but I'm better. Got fired, but I'm better. Somebody better give God a praise. God watching you. He been blessing you. He been helping you. He been having mercy on you. You don't look like what you've been through. Come on, Brother DeAndre. Look what God has done. Be seated. Some of you been going through financial difficulty, but God been keeping you looking good. Come on, I said some of you been going through financial difficulty, but look how God has been taking care of you. Finally, a person can become miserable. I'm not only afflicted, Pastor, but I'm going to tell the truth. I'm coming to church and I am miserable. I am unhappy. And y'all know what I teach about unhappiness. Unhappiness is a dangerous thing because it often starts in one place. But if a person doesn't kick unhappiness out of their life, it'll start in one place and it will migrate. Come on. It'll move to other places and you can eventually find yourself unhappy about everything. Even to the point where a person really asks you, what are you so unhappy about? Well, now it had reached a point to where it's so many things that you'll answer a person like this. Well, it's complicated. Just tell me. I'm here to listen. I know you need somebody to talk to. What are you unhappy about? You wouldn't understand. Come on. Y'all know how we are? Listen, I'm going to ask you one last time. What are you so unhappy about? I know God sent me over here to talk to you, to pray with you. What are you so unhappy about? Does it matter? This has always been my life. No matter what good happened, it's always followed by bad. So what does it matter? But see, I want to tell somebody this morning, it matters to God. And if it matters to God, it should matter to you. Am I right about it? Notice, good teaching right here. But see, God desires good, a better to come out of affliction. Notice Psalm 34. I'm in that close, y'all. Psalm 34. But we got to work this one. Psalm 34. Demons, evil folk, desire for us to perish in our afflictions. But God desires good, a better to come out of our afflictions. Notice Psalm 34, 19. Y'all there? Psalm 34, 19. Notice what the psalmist said. Many are the afflictions of who? Of who? Wait. Y'all see y'all read that right? Many are the afflictions of who? Don't ever let nobody tell you, well, if you get saved, if you give your life to the Lord, all your trouble going to go bye-bye. What you need to do is say bye-bye to that liar. Because I found out when I got good and saved and God started using me, that's when certain trouble came. That's when certain afflictions hit me. Come on. Oh, I'm finna say something only a few people going to be able to relate to it. I didn't really realize how real demons was until I got in my purpose. Come on, I knew somebody wasn't going to. I didn't really know how real demons were until I got in my purpose and I made my life not about myself, but helping other people. When you consume with yourself, you ain't no threat to the devil. But when you start saying, God, use me to help others. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them what? Out of them what? You coming out of one or two? 10 or 12? He gonna deliver you out of how many? How many? Somebody shout, that's Bible. Somebody shout, that's Bible. Somebody shout, that's Bible. Before it's said and done, whether in the earth or in the other life, children of God must come out of all the affliction. Therefore, in Jesus, when he described heaven in the book of Revelation, he said that's a place of no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Come on, somebody. Psalm 119:71. I wasn't going here, but the Holy Ghost told me to go here. Psalm 119:71. Getting ready to close this thing. See, we got to have the right delight. When you have the right delight, you know, even though you're going through trouble, you know the Lord, the one whom you delight in, is going to bring you out of all your trouble. You're going to be delivered from all of your troubles. Don't let nobody ever tell you as a child of God, well, you know, for you, it's going to always be like that. The devil is a liar. I got a promise. Now, some things we're going to forever go through down here. And God is going to use some things. Woo! The Lord helping us today. God going to use some afflictions. Listen to me. You ain't going to want to hear this, mature folk. But God going to use some afflictions to keep us humble. Come on. There are some things he never going to move so you don't get the big head. I'm not moving that. Or she going to start thinking more of herself than she need to. I'm going to always let her be going through something. And that's the life some of us live. We always going through something. That's for humility's sake. That you don't start looking down on other people. That you always remember from whence you came and how far God brought you. And you never give up on nobody. Come on, somebody. See, some trials are here to keep us humble. That's what Paul said. A thorn in the flesh had been given to him. A messenger of Satan to buffet him. Lest I exalt myself above measure. See, when you start thinking more of yourself, God will send something in your life that'll cause you to come right on down. Psalm 119:71. I'm talking to some of y'all that's always want to tell folks you make six figures. I make six figures now. God will put something in your life that you'll be like, Lord, these six figures can't solve that. Can't heal that. Six figures can't heal a broken marriage. Six figures can't deliver a child off crack. I'm telling you, some of you, what you're going through, God put that there. He put that there. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me. It is what? It is good for me. It is what? That I have been what? Afflicted. What's good about it, Psalm, is that I may learn your statues. Some afflictions are there to teach us something. I remember being afflicted financially, and it taught you a whole lot about money. Come on, women. Come on, mamas. Some of you mama go in the grocery store and get a whole meal with $10. What you call that? Afflicted. Afflicted. You knew how to pick the right meat. Just didn't get rice, but got just enough rice. Come on, mama. What taught you how to shop like that, mama? Afflictions. Some of them, we didn't have gas money. What taught you how low that hand to go on E? Affliction. Folk be riding with you like, ain't you going to stop? Ain't you going to stop and get, don't we need gas? And you be like, no, I'm going to tell you something. Affliction taught me that I can go 20 more miles on this. I can go to Walmart and over there to Target and back to the house on that. What taught you that? Affliction, needing gas, but no money. Come on, afflictions will teach you stuff. Am I right? But see, when you have the right delight, I want to show you something. Look at Genesis 41.
I want to show you something that Joseph, I want to give you two revelations that Joseph bring forth about God. Two things that Joseph reveals about God. And then we got one scripture and then I'm finished for today. Genesis 41. Show you two revelations that Joseph revealed about God. I'm going to quote one for time's sake. You remember when Joseph had went through all of them afflictions. And it started because of his evil or envious brothers. Y'all remember that? Who threw him in a pit. He was taken out the pit, sent to Potiphar's house, made a slave. Potiphar's wife lied on him, sent him to prison. In the prison, he's revealing dreams. One man get out, promised to let Pharaoh or the person in charge know about Joseph, but forgot about him. Later on, something happens in Egypt. Joseph is needed. Joseph comes forth. He's made to be second in charge of Egypt. Come on, somebody. See, I said a while back that we ought to be able to flourish wherever God plants us. Come on. You ought to be able to flourish wherever God plants you. If God puts you on a job, you should flourish on that job despite the people who don't like you on that job and don't want you on that job. If God puts you there, you should flourish there. Come on, somebody. But later on, it is revealed that Joseph's brothers don't recognize him. Y'all remember that? He's second in charge. He's really in charge. But Pharaoh said, only by name will I be greater than you, Joseph. And so when he reveals himself to his brothers, this is a revelation that Joseph gives us about affliction from God. If you're taking note, you're going to want to write this down. Many of you know it. He told his brother this right here. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. What did I tell you? God's desire is to bring good out of afflictions. See, that's me. When a child of God is afflicted, we should look for good to come out of it. I don't care how bad it looks, how bad it sounds, how bad it feels. Get control of your emotions and start looking for good. Better coming out of this. And see, when it gets like this, when God allow you to be afflicted, you do something that even saints don't understand. You be praising him in your afflictions. Because you know in your affliction, it's got you looking for what? Good. Going to the mailbox with a new attitude. Just looking for something. Come on. But this one the Lord wanted me to show you. Genesis 41 and 52. This is the second thing he reveals about God. First thing is that what people meant for evil, God can turn what? Good. He brings good out of things. Are y'all really listening? Are y'all receiving? You need to, because somebody being afflicted and you need to start expecting good. Get your mind off of what they done to you. See, some of you, if you were Joseph, and it were you, oh God, I'm trying to move on. Hurt by your own relatives? Hurt by people who should have protected you? Do y'all not know Joseph was a younger brother? A younger brother looks for his older brothers to protect him. When we were young and growing up, you ran to your older brothers. They help you fight. Come on. He was done wrong by his own relatives. But yet when he saw him and revealed himself to him, he didn't want to kill him. Woo! See, God couldn't have made some of you, Joseph. You'd have told the folk, look, bring them in here. Give me a knife. Tie their hands up and bring them in. All of them. You know what we did, especially y'all black women. First of all, what you shouldn't have done. We know Joseph was a man, but some of y'all women would have went, oh, even brothers. Let me tell you something. Some of the most bitter people, listen, that you'll ever see are men. You think it's women because by nature, women are emotional creatures. A woman is going to show her bitterness. Don't worry about it. Oh, she's going to give you a piece. Just stay there 10 minutes. And if she's bitter about anything, she's going to give you a piece. And then we'll stand there. Some of y'all like First Lady used to be. You ain't good and saved yet. When me and Donna first got saved, she run up on me ready to fight. I'm like, girl, we in church now. I don't care. I'm like, Donna, back off me now. You're in my private space. I don't care about none of that. But let me tell you something. Men get bitter and get real sick. Hide their sickness. They hide it. They bitter about life. Their men getting old and they bitter about being old. They mad that they getting old. They hate it. You have to be careful. Notice this. I got to close. That word be good to me, y'all. It do. That word. Whoa, I love the word. I hope y'all wouldn't want a pastor no other way. I love the word. Genesis 41:52. And the name of the second, this Joseph, this is what he named his second son. This is what I'm getting to. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. Why did Joseph name his second son Ephraim? Remember all the affliction he had been through. He said, for God. For who?
God.
For who?
God.
Has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my what? Remember what I told you earlier? Flourish wherever he plants you. Joseph didn't say God took me out of Egypt and caused me to flourish or to prosper. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my what? God didn't have to take him out of Egypt to make him fruitful in his affliction. And that's the reason God has been telling us through 5 messages. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know what caused God to make him fruitful in the land of his affliction? Because Joseph, through his afflictions, delighted himself. I believe at some point, bitterness tried to creep up. Depression tried to come. Because I'm going to tell you something. No matter how saved you get, there are just some things you go through that worry gone. Come on, ain't got but one more scripture. You see how folks just trying to act like, oh, no, Pastor, I ain't sweating. That's all. Pastor, I don't sweat. What you see there, that's all. Let me tell y'all something. That ain't no all right there. That's sweat. That means I be a man. And if I be a man and you be a woman or you be a child, a boy or a girl, you go through certain afflictions, worry. Come on. Depression. See, that's how depression knock on some of our door. Some of us, because we battle it periodically when things go bad. You know who knocking. It's like depression standing outside your door. I know you in there. And you've been waiting on him to call, and he ain't called, and he ain't going to call. You might as well let me. Don't no man want you. You need to try a woman. I ain't got one more scripture. Some of y'all members, you understand. No, it's real. Some of us laughing, but some folks looking at me, they know they're there right now. They're not. Got your hair done, put on your cologne, your perfume, planned the date night, husband came home, looked at you, didn't acknowledge nothing you did, and told you he ain't going nowhere, just leave him alone. Yeah. But some of us, that's how depression knocks at my door. Just a little tap. But some of you, I ain't finna mess up my microphone for you. But depression beats at your door.
It don't just knock. It knees. It pounds the door. It's coming with force. And if you don't know how in that moment to delight yourself in the Lord, to look for good, then you automatically open the door. But God said, give them one scripture about me and let it go. Reveal one thing to them about me and let it go. It's enough. I'm going to give you one scripture. It's enough that if you heed it, no. Knock all you want, but you ain't getting in. I'm done with it. Psalm 115, and we're done. Delight yourself also in who? The Lord. Delight yourself also in who? The Lord. Anybody been helped? Psalm 115, this is it. Psalm 115. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you what? The desire of your heart. He'll give it to you while worry knocking. While bitterness trying to get in. He'll tell you, don't let it in, because I got something good for you. And here's the question we ask today. What makes God so special in giving people the desires of their heart? What makes him so special? What puts him above everyone else? Now, there's a lot of things, but the Holy Ghost said, this is it for us. Psalm 115 and 3. Psalm 115 and 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Our God is where? In heaven don't mean, see, heaven is divided. There are three parts to heaven. The first part of heaven is mainly the sky and the sun and the moon. But then there's a second part of heaven where the angels. Then you got the third part of heaven that represents the abode of God, the throne of God. See, he said, our God is in heaven. What the psalmist was saying was that our God is on the throne. That's what he meant. He's on the throne. And he does, watch this, whatever he pleases. Tell your neighbor, if it pleases the Lord to give you your heart desire today, next week, before the month end, nobody, let's get Bishop up in here, can what? Stop him. Because unlike me and you, God does what? Whatever he pleases. I'm done. Let's give God a big hand of praise. I'm done.